We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Anthony Heron, Score football analyst, former NFL defensive lineman and Iowa Hawkeye.
Mr. Heron, I want to compliment you. You're doing a fine job.
Big and Heron with Dan Bernstein on 670 The Score.
Time for OTAs, organized team activities. The Bears are gathering to meet each other, many for the first time. It isn't just rookies now. Veterans will be out there. They'll actually be installing things, I guess. I don't know exactly what a first-time coaching staff does the first time they gather everybody there. And that's why we have Anthony Heron here. He's on Twitch with us, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore, on Twitter at Big Ant Heron, and on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Hello, Anthony. What's happening?
Hello, Daniel. I am doing well, man. It's fun. There's some winning that's happening in town right now for the moment. Winning and anticipation on the football side of things. So it's not a bad week. And the sun's out. How about that?
Yeah, it's a little cool, but we can handle this. I don't mind it one bit. What is this now for the Bears? How do we watch this, and how do we criticize anything that we see or hear?
I mean, it's still going to be just anticipation built up towards actually watching them compete against other people. But to actually have the, you know, at least have the assembled media there at practice, just, you know, tracking how many interceptions Justin Fields may throw, then that's probably as close as we're going to get to any tangible evidence to the comfort level that will, you know, that will hopefully be growing for him with Luke Getsy, with this Bears offense, and which particular playmakers he seems to have the best rapport with. I mean, we can go into it anticipating that Darnell Mooney will be the main target out there, but, you know, up to this point in a young and I suppose impressive career that Darnell Mooney's had, you know, you don't want him being some kind of, you know, 120 catch guy for you. I don't think that's necessarily where the Bears passing attack will be best served. So is there somebody else who he at least seems to be targeting a lot on the practice field? It won't necessarily, you know, we saw Jesse James become that guy last year over the offseason. Doesn't mean that dude's going to end up making a lot of plays, but you do want to start seeing some signs. There's a variety of pass catchers he's worked with throughout the offseason. And so beyond Darnell Mooney, is there someone else who he legitimately seems to be building a true rapport with? Because right now he is obviously getting the reps with the ones. He is the starting quarterback. He is the guy who's out there getting every rep that actually matters, that's important. So differently than last season, now you'll at least get the opportunity to get a sense for who's going to be out there with the varsity alongside Justin Fields. So that's at least something that should be able to be visible to the media as they view practice.
Is this all shorts and shells, or especially for the big dudes? And as Ryan Pohl said on these airwaves, you don't know anything about them until they start hitting each other. Is this an opportunity to finally do some of that?
A little bit, not much. It'll certainly be more competitive during this stretch of OTAs with the veterans and the rookies being out there together. There'll be some more competitive work, but there's not going to be anything fully padded until you get to the preseason training camp preparation time. But there'll be some opportunities in actual shoulder pads to at least get out there and allow guys to run into each other and not feel like they're in the same level of danger, to see who can truly try to push someone else around. So on the line of scrimmage, where you're not going to do any real cut blocking in practice during this time of year anyway, so at least what's happening in the upper body, having shoulder pads and helmets on for the portions of practices where that's actually utilized, then you are going to see some physicality on the line. And that's going to matter. It's going to matter for a guy like Dominique Robinson. You know, there was there was a little bit of conjecture of maybe the Bears having a second round pick. Maybe a guy like Michigan's David Ojabo would be somebody they could try to target if he fell there. And I don't think Ojabo is necessarily the best scheme fit for the Bears. I don't think Dominique Robinson is the best scheme fit for the Bears. But a situational pass rusher like that, who's just developmental in learning what it is to be a defensive end or an outside linebacker type, that's what his frame is. That's what his body type is like. So to be able to have that opportunity to get that work, to knock off, you know, a lot of the greenness that's there for someone who hasn't played the position very long, doesn't necessarily suit this Bears scheme and being like a 4-3 three down defensive end, but they're going to need more than that. They're going to need guys who can come in on third down and heat up the pocket. And he certainly is the type of individual that has those physical traits, but you get better at that. Like you and I have always talked about it, it's a painful, it's a brutal sport, but you get better at playing football by playing football, and there will be the opportunities for him to do that.
There's something that's been sticking in my head, it kind of been rattling around ever since we played some sound from Nate Tice. Nate Tice, usually of the Athletic Football Show, he was on the Hogan Johns podcast, and he was talking about how he assessed some of the Luke Getsy offense, particularly in the run game. And he referred to the blocking scheme as duos. And he said that there isn't as much outside zone as you would think. He said just because they talk about their speed and athleticism, he said what they do, he called it at ya. He said the offense is a little bit more right at ya, hit you in the mouth. So then I'm thinking, if that's the case, how does that square with Ryan Poles' desire to have more conditioned, athletic linemen instead of big fat guys? How do the two work together to make sense?
You'll still end up wanting those bodies. The bodies that move in unison, in sync, as you are working, and it's not even all straight double team types of concepts, but you know, when you're using a term like duo, where a lot of times it can be like a combo scoop block where you are working at an angle through a defender up to the second level, and your hope is that as that secondary blocker is put in a position to overtake the defender at the line of scrimmage, then not only does that first guy who's working through the outside shoulder get an opportunity to work up to the second level, but eventually maybe that secondary blocker can continue to move his feet and work through traffic also. So even though it may not be that straight, you know, there's going to be plenty of what we would sort of see as the stretch zone that's a part of Green Bay's offense. I'd be shocked if Luke Getsy doesn't end up, you know, bringing that here to Chicago with him. But beyond that, even that lateral element of what the run game is, it won't as consistently just be like a wide zone look or toss play kinds of looks. There's going to be still elements of that work through defenders, moving them backwards. But to have that athleticism available to you can allow now the run plays to hit quicker, to work downhill more swiftly. When you have a big-bodied offensive lineman and you try to run some zone schemes, you can still be very successful with it, but it does take longer for those big bodies to actually overtake defenders and create that downhill angle for your running back. And so if you have bodies that are moving more quickly, a little more swift and perhaps more trim in their, just in the way that their bodies are composed, then you can overtake defenders more quickly. You may not move them backwards as well, but if your offensive line can get in position to create run lanes more swiftly, then your running backs can be trained to get downhill more quickly. That's really something David Montgomery struggled with early in his career. There's a lot of dancing in the backfield. He's gotten more and more effective throughout his time with the Bears at getting downhill more quickly, as opposed to just sort of trying to find some defender to fake out or evade. And so with a more athletic offensive line.
I've always said you may have great moves. You don't have to use all of them every run.
Yeah. To get downhill now is where David Montgomery has gotten a lot better throughout his career. And frankly, in the NFL, once you get some penetration as quick as you can get north and south, especially if you're a guy who doesn't have an immense top gear, like David Montgomery can get to his top gear quickly, but he's not just going to go floating away from everybody once he gets there. So he's become more and more effective more consistently as he gets north and south. He's got moves, he's got wiggle, he can run through contact and all that. But I think to adjust his run angle and to know how definitively, how quickly he can begin to get downhill, to get north and south. And I think that's why the athleticism we're talking about with the offensive line matters, because now, even though it may not just be these wide, you know, toss play types of looks, but you can have bodies that get themselves into position to create run lanes more quickly.
I'm thinking, too, about how much fun it's going to be from our perspective watching coaches figure out the balance between putting in what they want to run and then realizing what can or can't be run, listening to feedback from the players and deciding, all right, let's do this instead. Because with the previous administration, I don't want to spend too much time you know, obsessing over the previous administration. With their vision, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to keep shuttling through players. If they can't do it, someone else will do it. Where I get the feeling now that there's going to be a little bit more of a two-way street and a little more healthy relationship in that regard. How can these OTAs be used to say, all right, here's our vision for what we want to do, and do you put in, do you say, look, let's just, I'm going to pick a number here where instead of saying, look, here's 20 plays we're going to run, let's get these down and then we'll see. Or do you do five and say, let's really get good at these and then build outward, or just say, we're going to throw all this at you and pare down from there? I don't know if there's a right way or a wrong way. You probably had experience with coaches doing it both ways. Yeah.
Here's where the newness of the Bears and the, frankly, the inexperience in these very significant roles will end up mattering, because on one hand, you obviously have schematics. You have an offensive and defensive system that you're going to put in. The Bears defensive staff that's worked together so much, from the head coach to the coordinator, Nathan Williams, and several assistants, they know exactly what they think works defensively in the National Football League and how they want to deploy that with the personnel who they're currently signing and may continue to sign. Offensively, it's certainly not a blank slate, but you have personnel that's very inexperienced in the NFL in general, and obviously inexperienced within the offense that they're putting in, but then you also have this first-time play caller in Luke Getsy that has the keys to the car, that will be essentially the head coach of the offense for the Bears. That's cool and all. But not only does he need to figure out exactly what his brand of offense will be in the NFL, not just conceptually in his head, but actually implementing that as a play caller, but then you do have to figure out what your personnel can handle. Chief amongst those, Justin Fields, but then you do have whatever level of playmakers that you're going to be counting on for the Bears at receiver, tight end, running back, but then you do need to sort of surmise what they do well within your system. So you have these two different forces that will operate on what you're hoping will be concurrent tracks. And then in addition to that, because I don't think they're done signing veterans, you need to see him sign another veteran offensive lineman or two who can be dependable, maybe another veteran receiver, hopefully another veteran receiver at some point between now and the start of the season. But that's part of this evaluation that's going to be taking place during OTAs as well. I remember my time in Detroit, man, where I came in, I was an undrafted rookie free agent who ends up running with the twos because I was doing a nice job through the early mini camps and through the initial OTAs. Then I broke my ankle in the first preseason game. I'm limping around like I'm trying to gut my way through it. Next thing I know, a week later, they sign Alonzo Spellman off the street. They're not going to count on some rookie free agent to limp through the regular season. We need more veteran presence in here. So part of their evaluation of me and of other defensive linemen was, all right, it's time to bring a vet in. We're not quite comfortable with the full depth. That's a part of what they're going to continue to do also. So you're evaluating whether or not you got a bunch of these young and experienced guys can you count on. Do you really think much of Equanimeous St. Brown now that he's out here running routes for you? And if you don't, you got to go out and get some vet to come in. So there's several different concurrent tracks that they're going to be operating on that even go beyond just figuring out whether or not their scheme suits what they have personnel-wise.
The most important player on the Bears is Justin Fields. We know that. There's no debate. And we're going to do a little bit of this in-depth next segment, but I want to make sure to get your thoughts on where you are on this continuum. On one side, you have a school of thought summed up by a column that posted yesterday by Mike Tanier of Football Outsiders, the headline, "The Reckless Abandonment of Justin Fields." And it is a long and involved and entertaining, but frankly overwritten essay about quarterbacking history and what it should
May,
be done.
Man.
And
it's
what,
May.
And
oh,
like, I get it, but this is, I found this to be a little much, frankly. And on the other hand, you have what Brad Biggs is saying, where basically it's, look, if Justin Fields is great, it's not about the supporting cast. And they will be able to know. And it's not necessarily the individual stats or a one-loss record that they will know that he's the guy one way or the other. Are they abandoning him recklessly? Are they sabotaging him so they can bring in their own guy? Or is this just the reality of the cap that they can't do everything all at once, and it's a show of confidence in him to say, we think you can prove your greatness even without an expenditure for a support staff?
I think it's closer to the latter than it is the former. Where the Bears find themselves at, we know the cap situation that they inherit. You know, it wasn't the worst cap situation anybody's ever had. They improved it looking towards building towards the future by unloading some expensive vets. But because Justin Fields is in year two, I do believe that it's a, you know, because you don't have the new regime that's in between the GM and the head coach, they're not on the same timeline with their quarterback. So you have a guy in year two as opposed to a rookie year, where for him, for his career arc, it is important to show progress. It's important for Justin Fields to play well. Well, just realistically, let's keep in mind, Justin Fields is going to be here for another 3 years regardless. You know, it's very unlikely they're about to cut Justin Fields after this season or after a couple of years from now. He would have to be just dramatically, historically awful for them to do that with a quarterback who the previous regime moved heaven and earth to go and acquire in the first round. And frankly, I don't think many of us think he'll be that bad. But is he in a position to prove that he is great yet? That position is made more difficult because of the dearth of playmakers, the lack of playmakers that are around him on offense. But we have seen recent examples where this can still work out okay through patience. Like the Buffalo Bills were very patient with Josh Allen, yep, and his development and how little they asked of him through the first multiple years, through the first several years of his career, to be frank. And then really just this past season and a half, he's turned into this MVP caliber player that we've seen him become for Buffalo. It does seem like a patient regime. It does. We've seen a methodical approach to this offseason so far. So I certainly don't think there's anything sinister going on. And I think it's just one version of what they believe development of not only the quarterback, but of the entire roster can look like. My anticipation is still that they're going to find some other veteran presence to put into the huddle with him, both up front and at receiver. If they don't, then they're going to make his life very difficult with what's available to him playmaker-wise. And it would show me that they really do plan to sort of condense what this offense will likely be and have a very defensive approach to what this season with Justin Fields and with the Bears at large can end up meaning. But I don't view this season as the, you know, where it gets stated sometimes like we have to know whether or not Justin Fields is great. I do agree with Biggs's point about if he truly is great, if he just immediately shows greatness, he can lift everyone else up. That's not the only version of success at quarterback in the NFL, though. Maybe we don't immediately know in this year two that he's great by rising everyone else up, but we can at least have some version of that where you see the promise that's there, and then they spend towards that promise in the future. Like, the Giants still don't know if they think Daniel Jones is any good. The Dolphins still don't know if they think Tua Tagovailoa is any good. There's time here with a first-round quarterback. It's just going to take, apparently, the same level of patience that right now the Bears brass is showing.
Well, and the fact that nobody thinks the Bears are going to be good this year.
Right.
Because it's obvious that they're not going to be. And in some respects, you think, well, that sucks. And in other respects, there's some freedom there. There's some flexibility there. And it does allow them an opportunity to have some room for growth outside of every next game, stalking every next win with so much at stake. I know that sounds like, well, what are you talking about? You're the Chicago Bears. You should always be trying to win the Super Bowl. But they could definitely get closer to winning a Super Bowl at the end of this year.
They need to show, and it's, you know, I guess damning with faint praise to look at it this way. They've got to show competence in the way that they're running things from the front office perspective and on the field. And of course, once the games actually start being played, our main focus will be on Matt Eberflus, his coaching staff, the schematics on each side of the line of scrimmage. you know, the wins and losses, it's going to be hard to just ignore whether or not they're winning and losing games, but how they go about procedurally in the game to put themselves in a position for that. That was the thing that was, you know, after the initial season with Matt Nagy, previous regime and everything else, that fell apart so shockingly, is that they got worse every year they were together.
Yep.
Now Matt Eberflus has this first opportunity to at least showcase what he can become as a coach. And it's not like they're going to take the field with a personnel advantage over the majority of the opponents they play. So he's going to have to coach well for the Bears to really be in a lot of these.
Anthony Heron, thank you as always, sir. Appreciate it.
All right. Appreciate you, man.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!